I started this sermon series to be continued a few weeks ago by talking about KTDs and how a lot of, especially older people, are really worried about KTDs. Does anyone remember what a KTD is? Kids these days, right? When we get older, we start talking about kids these days and the way that they dress and the way that they act, and we just wonder, how are these kids these days going to turn out? And it turns out that they actually turn out okay. Well, I realized something, that if we are worried about KTDs, then there's probably a generation of people worried about ATDs or PTDs, concerned about the way that they dress, concerned about the way that they act, wondering what in the world is wrong with them. ATDs, of course, are adults these days, PTDs, parents these days. How often do you think, if you worry about your kids, do your kids wonder about you and what is wrong with you? Why do you have to dress that way? Why do you have to act that way? It's just embarrassing. It's just strange. There's always this generation gap where one generation wonders about the next generation, especially, I think, if you are trying to follow Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus, your kids are going to wonder why you are different, why you do certain things. Kids always ask why, and perhaps one question they're going to ask you is, why do you obey God's commandments? Why is it important for you to do these things that God has told you to do, especially if people around you, especially if the people that the kids are interacting with in different places aren't trying to follow Jesus? They're going to wonder, why do you try to obey God's commandments? That is almost exactly the question that gets asked at the end of Deuteronomy chapter 6. They have the question there, and then they give us the response. When your kids asks, why are you careful to obey God's commands? Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells us that the answer is to tell them a story. We're going to look today at the question. We're going to look today at the answer, the story that we are to tell them. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, let's start with the question. I'm starting where Anne started in verse 20. When your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? What is the purpose of these commandments? Why did God give us these rules that we're supposed to follow? That's the question that the kids are asking. And this is set in a time in the future when, or the future for at least the people hearing this for the first time. They're on the east side of the Jordan River, ready to enter in to the promised land. And Moses is saying that once you're in this land, this good land with beautiful houses and productive farms and having everything you want, your kids are going to wonder, why do you keep following the laws that God has given you? Why are you so careful to obey God's commandments? And it's a good time for me to be reminded and for me to remind you that the Ten Commandments are in the previous chapter. So we're in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 5 actually lists, for the second time in the Bible, all of the Ten Commandments. So let's say, for example, a Jewish boy asks his father, "Father, why is it that on Saturday, the last day of the week, you don't go and trade with the men from the other countries? Why don't you engage in business on the Sabbath day?" Because the commandment is that they are to honor the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. So the son might ask, "Dad, why don't you go and work on the Sabbath day?" Or maybe the seventh commandment, "Do not commit adultery." Son is at school or in the marketplace, and he comes home and he says to his father, "Father, I heard some other boys talking in the marketplace today, and they're saying that their dad doesn't stay faithful to his wife. They're saying that he has several women that he has relationships. Why is it that you are faithful only to mom? Why is that so important to you? Why are you so committed to just one person? Or maybe the last commandment, the 10th commandment, do not covet. A son asks his father, "Father, did you see how big the neighbor's house is? Why isn't our house that big? Do you know how many oxen they have? They have 12 oxen. Dad, we only have 6. You know what that's like for me to go to school and have someone make fun of our oxen?" A child will ask, "Why aren't we working harder to keep up with the neighbors, to have all of the things that the neighbors have?" And maybe we, in the 21st century, thousands of years later, will get similar questions. A child will ask, "Why is it so important that we gather together with other people on the Sunday for worship? Why do we have to go to church on Sunday?" Or they'll ask, "Why do you make such a big deal about marriage? Why do you think that marriage is such an important thing and that you should be faithful to one person for your entire life? Why is that so important?" Or they might ask, "Why is our TV not as big as the neighbor's TV? Why do we have to drive an older car? Why are we giving so much money away? Why aren't we spending it on ourselves, getting more and more things?" Kids could ask questions like that about why we are obeying God's commandments. And maybe it's not just kids. Maybe you don't have kids, but you're around other people that notice that you're living your life a different way. And they might ask you similar questions. Why do you live your life the way that you live it? Why are you careful to obey God's commandments? How do you answer that question? What are you going to say? Well, in Deuteronomy 6, it says that we are to tell a story. When someone asks why we are careful to obey God's commandments, you tell them a story. The story for the Hebrew living thousands of years ago begins in verse 21, saying, "We were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt." The father might sit his son down and say, "Son, look around. We didn't always have this house that we have now. We didn't always have food to set on the table. Life wasn't always this good. You see, we used to be slaves of a cruel and powerful master. For hundreds of years, we worked for someone who fed us only so that we could do more work for him. Every single day from morning till evening, we had to work for him. And if there was a time where we could not work, or we became too old to work, he would just get rid of us. He didn't care for us at all, only what we could do for him. We didn't own anything. Nothing belonged to us. We were destitute and powerless to free ourselves. But God rescued us. God sent these great signs, these terrible signs in the land of Egypt, where the entire earth was covered with locusts or gnats or darkness, where we saw the great Nile River turn to blood. And then on one awful night, the angel of death came through, and the firstborn in every single household died. But God spared us because God told us to put the blood of a lamb on the sides of our doorposts. And because of that, we were able to live. And God rescued us from the land of Egypt. He brought us out. And because of that, God is our king. And this land that we live in now belongs to God. This is God's kingdom, this promised land that he promised to our forefathers. It belongs to God. This is the story of how God became our king and brought us into his kingdom. We were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord showed signs and wonders, great and grievous, against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. He brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give to our fathers. God became our king. God brought us into his kingdom. Well, that's the story that the Hebrew people would tell. But if your son or daughter or someone at work asked you why you're careful to obey God's command, and your story starts by saying, we were slaves in Egypt, you might get kind of some strange looks from them. Because you were never a slave in a foreign country, your people were probably never enslaved in the land of Egypt. But you were a slave to some master that was much crueler and much more powerful. There was a time in your life when you were a slave to sin, death, and the devil. You were spiritually poor. When you stood before God, you had absolutely nothing to offer, and you were too weak to rescue yourself. There was nothing that you could do to be freed from the power of Satan. But God rescued you. God came in, he sent his son and sent these great and awful signs where he was swarmed by evil men, where the sky was turned to darkness and he was covered in his own blood. And then on the worst and most awesome night of the year, of all of history, God's one and only son gave his life for you. God saved you by giving his own son over, by giving his life. He was buried, and then on the third day, he rose from the dead. He became our king. He saved us from sin, death, and the devil, and now he has brought us into his kingdom, a kingdom of righteousness and joy and life. That's the story of how God became our king and brought us into his kingdom. A few weeks ago, I think when we were starting this series, I was holding Joshua and we were singing Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And one of the lines in there, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Joshua says to me, Daddy, who was lost? He heard us sing those words and he asked that question, who was lost? And I thought, that's why you're my favorite sermon illustration. You do this. Thank you. You've earned your keep once again. I said, I was lost. We were all lost. That is our story. There was a time where we were lost, but God came and found us. There was a time where we were blind, but God opened up our eyes to see. There was a time where we were slaves, and God has rescued us. He became our king and brought us into his kingdom. So if someone asks you, why do you go to worship on a Sunday? Why don't you sleep in? Why don't you do other things? Why don't you go to work? That's so much time, such important time dedicated to that one specific thing. Well, perhaps you could answer by telling a story about how that at one time you were a slave. You worked for a master that never gave you a day off, that made you work only so that you could give everything you earned to him. You were a slave to a cruel master that made you work constantly. But God rescued you. God became your king. And when we live in his kingdom, he is such a generous king that he provides everything that we need. There is nothing that we have to worry about. And so we don't have to constantly be working. Instead, we can stop and we can trust that God is going to provide. Because God is our king and we live in his kingdom, we gather on a Sunday, the day that Christ rose from the dead, and we worship him. He's our king. We live in his kingdom. Maybe someone would ask you, why do you make such a big deal about marriage? Why do you think it's so important that someone be who's made a vow, that they stay committed to that vow to one person, no matter what happens in their life? We live in a world where that's just way too difficult for that to happen, and those ideas are so outdated. Why do you make such a big deal about that? Perhaps you could answer by saying that there was a time in my life where I was unloved, where I was unlovable, where any relationship I had, I was only looking to get something from them, and people had no commitment to me beyond what I could give to them. But then God rescued me. He became my king. He showed me what commitment looks like. Even though I was unlovable, even though I was his enemy, he gave his very life for me. And he's promised himself to me, to be committed to me no matter what. Even though I still am a failure, even though I still don't get it right, I know that God is never going to leave me. God has shown me what it looks like to be committed to someone. And because I have experienced this from my King, I want to show this to my spouse. I want to help other people learn what God's love looks like. Or maybe someone will ask you, why aren't you working harder to keep up with your neighbors? Why aren't you filling your home with more things? And why are you giving so much of your money away? You could answer by saying, there was a time when I was poor. There was a time when I stood before God, I was spiritually bankrupt. I had absolutely nothing to offer. Now, all the things that I had in my life were not satisfying to me, but God rescued me, and God became my king. And he's a good and generous king. Through his son, I have become rich. I have more than I could ever ask for. And everything that I need, he provides for me, so I am satisfied in him. Because God is our king, because we live in his kingdom, we do not have to kill ourselves, trying to get things that will not satisfy us. If someone asks you, why are you careful to obey God's commands? You can answer by saying, because God is my, by telling the story of how God became your king and brought you into his kingdom. Now, this is kind of set up like a catechism, the questions that we've been doing in our worship services, where there's a question and then there's an answer, like there's a very clear question here, and then there's a fairly lengthy answer. And you know that to tell stories takes a lot of time, and like, I couldn't really tell a story to Joshua while we were singing the song there. It seems like so much in our lives, we're very rushed. And so there's a quick way to answer that question without telling the story that is absolutely correct and also totally deadly. You could answer the story simply by skipping, you could answer the question by skipping the story and simply saying, God said so, that's why we do it. Notice how you could go from the question in verse 20 to the answer in verse 24. The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes. The Lord said so, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. God told us so, he said it was good for us, so that's why we do it. And a lot of times you know that when a kid asks you a question and they keep saying, why, it's never going to end. So what do you say? Because I said so. Okay? And so sometimes that's all you can do. But if you consistently do that, what it does, it makes them forget the story, makes them forget the reason you do the commandments, and it turns them into someone who thinks that being good is going to make God love them. You've heard the story before And I didn't want to use it because you've heard it so many times about the wife who takes the ham and she cuts off both ends of it and puts it in the pan and cooks it. And the husband says, "Why do you cut off both ends of the pan?" And she says, "Well, because my mom, that's how my mom did it." And so she says, "I'm not sure why she did it." And she calls her mom, and her mom said, "Oh, it's because I had a really small roasting pan, so it didn't fit in there." So I didn't want to tell that story because it's an old one. So I got a better one for you. So a guy's in an electrician, a young electrician. He's just learning the trade. He's been electrocuted, and so he's in the hospital. And his teacher comes to see him, and he says, "Why didn't you turn off the power? Why did you try splicing wires without turning off the power?" And he said, "Well, because I've seen you. You lift up one of your legs, stand on one leg, and then you splice the wires. You don't have to turn off the power, and I've never seen you get electrocuted." And his teacher says to him, "Didn't you know I have a wooden leg?" I guess you have to understand electricity to get that story. The point is that it was really dangerous because this guy didn't know the story. And if so, if we just tell people we do it because God said so, they will start to hear that we are supposed to be good so that God will love us. But the Bible says that the good news is that God loves us first. God accepts us first, and that's why we are good. We aren't good in order to be accepted. We are good because we are accepted. The story always comes before the commandments. And that is true throughout the Bible, including Deuteronomy 5. If you look over there where the Ten Commandments are listed, in verse 6, you have the story before you have the commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." There it is in condensed form. I rescued you. I became your king. I have brought you into my kingdom. That's why you live these good lives. So maybe a little bit the medium answer to the question could be, we obey God's commandments because he is our king, because he brought us into his kingdom. We obey God's commandments because he is our king, and we now live in his kingdom. Verse 25, "It will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God as he has commanded us." That word righteousness there, it means rightness, so in a right relationship with God. You did nothing to earn your relationship with God. You did nothing to rescue yourself. God did all of it. He established the relationship. He says, "Now that I have called you, now that I have unconditionally accepted you, for your good, now live in this relationship with me." We are good because we are accepted and loved by God. And nothing could ever change that. As you read throughout the book of Deuteronomy, over and over this word righteousness comes up. And it says, in every time it comes up, Moses is saying to the people, it is not because of your righteousness. It's not because you are good people. It's not because you somehow pleased the Lord that you're being brought into this land. It's because God rescued you. It's because he is your God. It's because he loves you despite what you do, and he is forever committed to you. That is our story, and we are to tell that story. I remember I was 6 or 7 years old. My mom and one of my sisters were gone for some reason, so I was home alone with my dad, and my other sister was lying on the couch, and I don't remember what the conversation was. I remember me asking some questions, and then my dad's telling me, "Would you like to hear the story about how I became a Christian? Would you like to know about how God became my king?" I got on his lap, and he told me about how that there was a time when he was growing up that he was completely living for himself. All he wanted in life was to get pleasure for himself. So any relationship that he had with anybody was about how that what he could get from them. And then he met my mom. They started dating. They decided to get married. They figured it would be something that they would do for a while, but they didn't really have plans to stay married their entire lives. And then my mom got pregnant with my sister Angie and went through the pregnancy, and then they went to the hospital for the delivery. And there were some complications at birth, and they didn't know if my sister Angie was going to live. And my dad ended up talking to a chaplain who told him the good news about Jesus. And then the day later, my dad found himself in a church, a place where he would never go on his own. Since his parents stopped making him go, he had never gone to church since then. And he's in a church. And in the church, the pastor is telling him about Jesus and how Jesus died for him and how Jesus rose again from the dead. And my dad and the pastor says, "I know there's someone here who this needs to hear this message." And that was my dad, but my dad didn't go forward. And then he went and found the pastor after. And the pastor told him how to give his life to Christ. And that's the day that God became my dad's king. He rescued him from all of his sin, and he brought him into his kingdom. And that obviously had a profound effect on me, if you didn't guess that. And so tell the story. If you have a story, tell it to your kids. If you have parents, ask your parents to tell them that story. That story is the most important story that you are ever going to tell. And so know your story and tell it as often as you can. The reason that we obey God's commandments is because God loves us, and he has shown his love to us by giving us his Son. The reason we obey God's commandments is because he's our king. We live in his kingdom. Make sure you tell the story about how you came to live there.